Stomping Grounds 2019 review, Sound Off Extra Style, here on the official YouTube channel for the Solomonster Sounds Off. And we are going live here tonight, as we have the last few shows. We're doing it live. Another live stream here tonight. And this is the best kind of live stream because WWE, for a change, went off the air early. Super early, in fact, for their pay-per-view here tonight. Which actually, I have to add an extra point to the score of this pay-per-view. Just for doing that alone. They were very economical with their time. This is a show here tonight where there were not a lot of expectations going into it. In fact, you saw that little video there that I just played at the beginning. That was on my whiteboard. There was a whiteboard in my hotel room the other night, which is very unique. I've never had a hotel room with a whiteboard in it. And that was sort of my little preview for Stomping Grounds. And really, that was more a reflection of the crappy name. I can't say with that little smiley face that that's a reflection of the pay-per-view here tonight, because overall, I thought this was a good show. I thought this was even heading to be a very good show. Until the last, I'd say, half hour plus, and then things sort of fell off a cliff. A little bit. Not completely, but definitely fell off a cliff. A show that had two title changes, but otherwise was not very eventful at all. So we're going to get into everything here in just a second. The Twitter poll is open. If you would like to vote, at Solomonster on Twitter is my handle. I'll flash the results later on in the show. I'll also be taking some of your phone calls a little bit later. I'll put the phone number up. I'm not taking calls right now, so there's really no point in putting the number up just yet. Super chats are open for those of you who are interested in contributing in some way, shape, or form, you know, and I could sure use it after today. Apple Podcasts screwed me earlier. I got episode 605 of the podcast pushed out to the feed, pushed out to Apple, pushed out to Stitcher and Spotify and Audio Boom and all the usual platforms, and something went haywire. And so I had to delete the show, and I had to re-upload it two different times before it finally got working again. So that kind of ruined my day. So if anybody wants to send in a super chat, you are more than welcome to do so. And I appreciate the hell out of you for it. So just so you know, those are enabled. But yeah, that was pretty, I have to say, that was pretty infuriating a little earlier on. But before we move on here, I do have to mention this to you, and that is that this video that you see here is sponsored by The Ridge. The Ridge has been a good friend to us here. It is a slim front pocket wallet. Has RFID blocking technology to protect from data theft. They come in titanium, aluminum, carbon fiber, over a dozen different styles and colors. You can get a money clip with it. You can get a cash strap if you're not a money clip kind of guy, which I'm really not. Whichever you prefer. It's a quality product. I've got two of them here myself. And whether you're a guy, whether you're a girl, it doesn't really matter. I like having a slim pocket, or a slim wallet in my pocket, rather, instead of this fat thing I used to carry around with me. So you can get that too. You can get 10% off your first Ridge wallet with free worldwide shipping. Just go to ridge.com/Solomonster. Use the promo code Solomonster at checkout. That's kind of important. And you can get yourself 10% off your first wallet. Again, that's ridge.com/Solomonster, and you can do so courtesy of the Sound Off. How cool is that? It's pretty cool, no? I want to give a shout-out here to two very talented people. That is Sal Rex and Steve Mello for the artwork that you will see here during the course of this review. I'll be switching slides back and forth, a thumbnail, all the artwork that you see. They make these videos look good, kind of like a good makeup artist, making me look good. And so I want to give them a shout out and say thank you here right at the top. Now let's get into this show here. I have to say this about the crowd. There was a lot of talk about the crowd going into this pay-per-view, the fact that they couldn't give away tickets to this show. You went on Ticketmaster.com, you saw lots of empty seats strewn about all throughout the Tacoma Dome. I have to say this, the crowd, whatever you thought of the show, was loud throughout the night. Even though there were fans in the upper levels who were being asked to move down to the floor to fill in some of the lower rows, or a lot of reports about that, they did tarp off an entire side of the building on the hard camera side, not just one section. They tarped off basically the entire side of the building, which they took great pains not to shoot throughout the entire pay-per-view. And in fact, I heard from one of our listeners, Jimmy, Jimmy the Mailman, shout out to him. He was at the show live. He even sent in some video to me during the Roman Reigns entrance, and he kind of scanned the entire building. And I will say the other sides of the building, they did a pretty good job of filling them in, but then you've got this one side that is just, it's like a SmackDown taping. It's just totally empty. And for a pay-per-view. Now, granted, this was not a big pay-per-view, but still, it's kind of jarring to see an entire side of the building just empty, void, like a black hole at a WWE pay-per-view show. And it's just a reflection on overall interest in the product right now, and frankly, a lack of effort in putting this card together. I mean, this could have turned out to be the greatest pay-per-view of all time. That's not a reflection of the effort that went into it. And it sure didn't seem like there was a whole lot of effort put into it. And so that's what you end up with. But I will say this, the crowd was as loud as any sold-out crowd you would see in any arena. So kudos to the fans in the Tacoma Dome for making this show even better. An enthusiastic crowd can go a long way. Kickoff match was Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and Akira Tozawa, a triple threat match for the Cruiserweight Championship. I thought this was an excellent match. All action from start to finish. We had Tony Nese attempting a superplex to Tozawa, but was knocked backwards into a tree of woe. So now he's hanging there in the corner. Tozawa's on top. Drew Gulak from out of nowhere leaps up to the top rope, hits a superplex, but now Gulak is down. And Nese pulls himself up. He goes for a 450, misses. Gulak tries for a roll-up, but Tozawa flies in with a Shining Wizard for a very close near fall. Crowd was going crazy for this. Tozawa tried for an armbar, but Nese muscled him up, powerbombed him into the turnbuckles for a two count. Gulak went for a torture rack. He landed, though, Nese did, on the apron. Tozawa, before Nese can do anything, Tozawa flew in from out of nowhere, knocked Nese off the apron into the barricade, pretty much wiped him out. That was the end of him. That was the end of the champion. Gulak hit the torture rack into the neck breaker to Tozawa to win the title. His very first title in WWE. Now, he did not pin the champion, but it's triple threat rules, and so that's the way it works. You don't have to be, you can be the champion, but you don't have to be pinned to lose your title. Just tell that to Brock Lesnar. He remembers that from WrestleMania many years ago. I picked Gulak to win, so this made me happy to see him get his moment. He's sort of become the resident shooter on 205 Live. And, you know, even in the appearances that he's made in NXT, he's had a couple of matches now with Kushida on television. Came out on the losing end of both of those. But, yeah, I saw this and I said, just why not? Why not give him a chance to run with it? He's delivered. You know, every time he's been given the ball here lately, he's delivered. Tony Nese, hey, you know, he looks like $1 million, but I can't say that he's exactly been lighting the world on fire. So why not give Drew Gulak a shot with the purple belt? So I thought this was a great way to start off the night, even if this wasn't technically part of the actual pay-per-view. The pay-per-view itself opened with Becky Lynch defending her Raw Women's Championship against Lacey Evans. I thought they had a good match. Becky got shoved backwards into the announce desk very early on. She was selling her ribs for the rest of the match. Lacey pulled out her little handkerchief at one point, wiped her armpits with it, threw it at Becky. I thought she was going to shove it in her face. She threw it at Becky. Becky picked it up, stuffed it into Lacey's mouth. Not quite as nasty as the old Nasty Boys pit stop move that Brian Knobbs used to do, but still not very sanitary. Lacey hit a modified version of the Stone Cold Stunner and then a boot to the ribs for a two count. Evans thought it was three. Referee said it was two. Lacey missed a moonsault. Becky caught her in the disarmer for the immediate tap out. I mean, she did not waste any time at all in tapping out, and Becky Lynch rightfully retains her championship. They had a good match. My hope in watching this, and of course, I kind of noted this in my notes, then came the main event later, so silly me. But I had, you know, written down here that hopefully this marks the end of this program, because Becky, she's got to move on. You know, Lacey is brand new. I guess they wanted to put her in there because they have high hopes and they want to elevate her by putting her in there with the champion. And she's been very hit or miss. You know, sometimes I watch her and I think, yeah, she's pretty good. You know, in NXT, I saw promise in her. NXT would be the perfect place for her to sort of ply her craft, but they rushed her up to the main roster. And why wouldn't they? Vince probably took one look at her and fell in love. She's exactly his type. Other times I watch her, and it's been a disaster. This match I thought was pretty good, but it's time to move on. You know, Becky, her reactions and just overall, she doesn't feel as big as she did pre-WrestleMania, but she's still one of the biggest stars they've got on that brand. She's got to move on and mix it up with bigger names. And I'll keep saying it until I turn blue in the face, because I expect her to be back any week now. But Sasha Banks, I think, is that person. Now, you can, you know, crow all you want to about, well, are you going to reward her by putting her in a championship feud when she took her ball and went home? Yeah, I am, because I think it's the best program for her. So I am hoping that as we head closer into SummerSlam, we may be able to get something between Becky and Sasha, because I, off the top of my head right now, I just really can't think of anybody else on that Raw brand, you know, who would be in a good position to really feud with Becky. I know Ruby Riott is out. Apparently she had double shoulder surgery, or she's going to be having double shoulder surgery, so she's out for who knows how long. She's not going to be back for a while. You know, Natty, Naomi, and all due respect to them, that doesn't exactly excite me. I still feel Sasha is the best choice. Shout out, by the way, to Paul Hamilton. That's a name you may mention if you are a listener of the podcast and hear the PayPal donations every week. Paul Hamilton was at the show. He lives in the Pacific Northwest, and so he attended the pay-per-view tonight. And many of you tweeted me that you saw a giant Solomonster Sounds Off sign in the crowd. Well, he was there. He was in the first few rows, and, you know, there it is. That's the Sound Off sign representing the podcast. I love seeing that shit. And so Paul told me he was going to try. Sometimes he gets his stuff taken away from him, but this time he was able to sneak it in, and it popped up on TV many times, and I can't thank him enough for that. It's very cool. So I wanted to give a shout-out to him and give him credit, because he's the one, for those of you who noticed, who brought the sign to that show. And again, very cool. Appreciate it. New Day, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, that was up next. This is a match that felt completely thrown together going into this pay-per-view. But I said, you know, when I did the predictions, and I talked about this earlier on the podcast, I said Owens and Zayn are in dire need of a win here. They have lost basically all of their matches recently, and they did the right thing here. Owens and Zayn, right out of the gate, they were all over Woods and Big E. Owens super kicked off the apron right from the start. He super kicked Big E off the apron. He hit Xavier Woods with three super kicks in a row. Went up top, hit a senton for a near fall. And so Woods was in trouble. He was in trouble here against the heels for a long time until finally Big E scored the hot tag. One of the great things in WWE is a Big E hot tag. And he ran wild in all the heels. And for all the goofiness and funny as he can be, when he gets serious and he runs wild, Big E is a scary man. Woods even, at one point, lifted Big E up on his shoulders to get more height for a splash on Sami Zayn. New Day was setting up for their up-up-down-down finish. Zayn wiggled out of it. Big E went shoulder-first into the ring post. Zayn hit a haluva kick. Owens hit a pop-up powerbomb to Xavier for what I thought was the finish, but Big E broke it up. Zayn was on the apron. Big E came. Now, they had the camera on Zayn, so you couldn't see Big E on the other side of the ring hitting the ropes. He came in like a bat out of hell, out of nowhere, and hit his just terrifying shoulder tackle through the ropes, landed right on his shoulder like he always does. He'll, you know, I was talking about Ruby Riott a little while ago needing shoulder surgery. This guy's going to have both of his shoulders replaced within the next 10 years if he keeps doing this. Scares me to death every single time I see him do it. Woods went up. He went up top for what I assume would have been the diving elbow drop, but Sami Zayn crotched him on the ropes. Owens then hit the stunner for the win. Stone Cold approved, unlike Lacey Evans in the earlier match. If you're going to hit the stunner, you better damn well win with it. Kevin Owens did. So a huge win for him and Sami Zayn. They just desperately needed a win here. They got the win. This was the right finish. I thought this was a hot match, a fun tag team match, a match that just felt thrown together coming into this show, delivered in a big way. I thought everybody came out of this looking strong. We had Samoa Joe and Ricochet for the United States Championship. This was a hard-hitting match. These two guys knocked the shit out of each other. Ricochet rocked Joe at one point with a pretty vicious-looking kick that he sold to the side of the head that they replayed in slow motion. It looked great in slow motion. It looked like he knocked Joe silly with it. Ricochet hit a dive out to the floor, then a missile drop kick and a moonsault for a near fall. Joe caught Ricochet with a snap power slam for a two count. Ricochet went for a handspring elbow attempt, but Joe caught him in midair and dumped him the German suplex, and then turned him inside out on a hard clothesline. Ricochet looked like he landed right on top of his head. They did this great spot where Ricochet went for a kick, and Joe caught his leg, and he flipped him backwards. Now, normally when you see this spot, the person is flipped backwards and they land on their feet. In this case, not so much. He spun so much. Joe spun this guy so hard, he flipped about two times and he landed right on his face. So Joe went for the Coquina clutch. Ricochet got the ropes, hit a stun gun. He went up top for the 630. Joe rolled out of the way. Ricochet rolled through. Joe went for a clothesline. Ricochet avoided it, hit a code breaker, climbed up to the top in the opposite corner of the one he just previously attempted to climb. And this time he landed the 630 and he pinned Joe clean to win his very first title on the main roster in WWE. My first thought was, congratulations to Ricochet. My second thought was, poor Samoa Joe. He was literally, you know, he had the United States Championship before. He didn't hold it for very long. He lost it to Rey Mysterio. And in storyline, he was screwed, right? Because his shoulder was up, referee counted the fall, he got fucked, then Rey got hurt. So what did they do? They had Rey literally hand the belt back to him on TV. This was only a few weeks ago. Only a few weeks ago, and this might have been his first televised title defense since then, and he loses the belt. Now me, I would have waited a little bit longer, maybe SummerSlam, to put the title on Ricochet, but if this means they're going to push him and that they realize what they have in him and they're going to use him the right way, then hey, I can get behind that. I can't hate on that. So a huge win for Ricochet in what I thought was a very good match. Not great, but pretty good. I think they've got an even better one in them if they come back with this, which I suspect they will. Even though there is a no rematch clause, right? Isn't that the new thing now? No rematches for the champions who lose their titles. I suspect they'll find a way around. Just like the wild card rule was only four people from one brand can appear on the other brand show. We had 10. We had 10 SmackDown stars on Raw last Monday. I think all the rules go out the window. Backstage, Ricochet walked through the curtain. He was congratulated by Seth Rollins, Curt Hawkins, Zack Ryder, Carmella, Charlotte, Triple H celebrated with his NXT kid. He looked like a proud papa. And Heavy Machinery. Otis and Tucker were there, and Otis was hilarious. Ricky. I think he called him Ricky. He's like, hey, Ricky. Otis is great. Then their music hit. They were out next because their match was up next. Daniel Bryan and Rowan defending the SmackDown Tag Team titles against Heavy Machinery, Otis and Tucker. Heavy Machinery was booed heavily here in Tacoma against Washington's native son, Daniel Bryan. Massive cheers coming out. He's from Aberdeen, so of course he's the hometown boy. He was always going to get cheered. Tons of Daniel Bryan chants. Otis at one point hit a stalled or a standing vertical suplex on Daniel Bryan, British Bulldog style. So Tucker reaches in, and he tags Otis, and he comes in. They've done this spot before. As Otis is holding him in the suplex, he basically hands him off to Tucker, and now Tucker has Bryan up in the suplex. I love that spot, so that was cool. Watching Bryan and Otis, made a note here, in this match, when they were in the ring together, just the size disparity, reminded me a lot of the Ring of Honor shows that I had been to many years ago. When Bryan was in there with, and here's a blast from the past, Takeshi Morishima and the matches they had in Ring of Honor back in the day. There's just something about this kind of reminded me of that. Not necessarily as brutal as those matches were. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, Bryan, he suffered a detached retina in a match against Morishima. But just watching him in there with a larger man, a wider man, not taller, wider, I think is the best word for it. Kind of reminded me of that. Tucker climbed up to the top rope to try for a frickin' moonsault to Daniel Bryan. He nearly flattened him like a pancake, and he did catch him with part of his knees. Bryan did not roll out of the way totally in time. So he avoided absorbing the full impact, but he kind of got caught, didn't roll away quick enough. Heavy Machinery did use one of my favorite moves of theirs in NXT. They didn't call it by this name, but it's the Hoss Toss, where one guy, usually Otis, will hit like a slingshot. And basically here, Daniel Bryan was slingshot right into Tucker, who took him over with a slam. I love that sequence. This was after the caterpillar into the elbow drop, so that's one of Otis's signature spots. We got a big man exchange between Otis and Rowan. They both threw clotheslines. Neither man went down. Bryan tagged himself in. Otis slammed Rowan, and Heavy Machinery was setting up for their finish, the compactor, but Brian broke it up. Tucker then took out Rowan with a dive out through the ropes. But when he got back inside, Brian cradled him for the win. So Mr. Small Package, as he tweeted out when it was over, Mr. Small Package strikes again. Brian and Rowan retain. And, you know, I talk about how much, and even back when I used to talk about them in NXT, in my NXT reviews, I talk about how much I like Otis. He's very entertaining. But I got to give credit here and major props to Tucker Knight. He was damn impressive, as impressive as Otis was. As strong as an ox as he is, I thought Tucker was equally impressive here in this match. And the announcers said at one point that Tucker had a lot of family members in attendance here. He grew up nearby, and it showed because he looked extra motivated here in this match. And, you know, he and Otis both, I thought, looked good. They lost, but they gained more because this is the most legit that they have looked in their careers, including NXT. I mean, I think back to their NXT career. They never really truly had a big match in NXT. So this was, I think, you know, inarguably the biggest match of their career, and they delivered. They hung in there with the champions. And I think, you know, this may be the value in that Daniel Bryan holds going forward, working with a lot of this newer talent and helping them get over to that next level. He did it with Ali many months ago. In fact, Ali said that it was Brian who went to bat for him and got him onto SmackDown and into those main event matches. That would not have happened without Daniel Bryan going to bat for him. So he did it with Ali. Now he's working with Heavy Machinery. Yeah, not that I don't want to see him working with some of the bigger names, but that may be the real value in Daniel Bryan going forward. So I want to just do a quick check here. I want to give a shout out to the chat room here. Make sure everything is working fine. You guys can always let me know in the chat if there's any issues. So for whatever reason you can't hear me or there's any problems, this can be a shout out in there. If everything sounds great, give me the thumb. Actually, if everything sounds great, type in 605. That was the episode number of today's podcast for those of you who missed it. It is up, by the way, in iTunes and Stitcher, Spotify, all those platforms. So if you missed it, when this is over, go back and download it. That's episode 605. But if I sound good here, just type 605 into the chat so I know that everything is A-OK. Shout out to everybody who has sent in a super chat. Actually, we got a... hold on a second here. We got a big one here. Holy crap. Sports Fanatic 407 submitted a $100 super chat. Holy shit. Thank you to Sports Fanatic 407. He says, "Hey, Jason, I have been a huge fan of the Sound Off for the past few years, and I've always wanted to donate. Thank you for making such a great show and always calling it like you see it. Best wishes from Nick." Well, Nick, I can't say thank you enough. That's awesome. Thank you so much. That's, wow. I did not expect that. So that's very cool. Thank you to Nick. Lots of 605s in the chat, so that means we're good to go. And I'm going to, actually, give me a second here, because what I want to do... This is what happens when you're a one-man show here. You got to do things, you got to adjust certain settings and do things live here. Okay, we're good. So, up next, we had Bayley and Alexa Bliss for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I thought this was up to this point. And really, when I look back on this entire card, probably even now that the show is over, the weakest match on the show was the SmackDown Women's title match. I wouldn't say that it was a bad match. It was not, you know, a botch fest or just a horrendous match or anything like that, but just nothing special. The weakest match on this entire show. There was, at one point, Bayley did hit a sunset flip bomb on Alexa in the corner. The back of her head smacked the turnbuckles in the corner, which maybe isn't the best move for her to be taking, given that she was worried her career was almost over due to concussions. She just talked about this in an interview, and there she is taking a freaking sunset flip bomb headfirst back into the turnbuckles. Not too bright. So she rolls out to the floor. Bayley goes for a tope. Alexa pulls her supposed friend, Nikki Cross, into harm's way to take the blow for her. Alexa then gave Bayley a code red on the floor, rolled her back inside, went up top for Twisted Bliss when Nikki Cross climbed into the ring, inexplicably climbed into the ring to go after Bayley. The referee held her back, got her out of the ring finally, but by that time, when Alexa finally hit the move, Bayley got her knees up and then hit the belly to Bayley for the win. And so Bayley retains her SmackDown Women's Championship. So we are either in for an Alexa Bliss just verbal smackdown of her friend this week, or we come to find out that Nikki did it on purpose because she is not, in fact, a dumb babyface. A lot of dumb babyface syndrome on these shows. We've talked about this before. Maybe she isn't such a dumb babyface, and we come to find out that she's known all along that Alexa has just been using her as a backup and stringing her along. That would be kind of refreshing if it turned out that Nikki Cross was well aware of that, but I have no idea if that's where they're going with this. Backstage, there was a photo shoot going on with the new U.S. champion Ricochet. He was interrupted by the Good Brothers, Anderson and Gallows, and AJ Styles, all of whom were acting friendly. They were congratulating him on his big win. They were throwing up the too sweet sign. And AJ tells Ricochet, "I'll see you tomorrow night." And the crowd reacted big to that. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's challenging Ricochet in a match tomorrow night. I'm not even sure if AJ is cleared to come back yet. Although, being that he's back on TV, I suspect that we'll see him back in the ring very soon, if not tomorrow night. This can mean any number of things. We could be getting a match tomorrow night. We could be getting an AJ Styles heel turn. We could be getting an AJ Styles, a formal reunion with the club. Whatever it is, I'm here for it. AJ and Ricochet, are you fucking kidding me? Sign me up. That was awesome. If that's a sign of things to come. I didn't expect that. So I'm very much looking forward now to seeing what they have in store. Something to actually look forward to tomorrow night. How about that? It's not often that we get that when it comes to Monday Night Raw. We had Roman Reigns against Drew McIntyre. And I will say this. I thought that this was better than their WrestleMania match. But that isn't saying much, because their WrestleMania match was nothing special. This match at least had more heat. You know, that match certainly didn't benefit from coming after the Kofi Kingston-Daniel Bryan match at WrestleMania. That match didn't benefit from coming in the latter half of a 7-hour show. They didn't have that problem here. But the one thing this match had that I did not like was way too much Shane McMahon. Way too much Shane McMahon for my liking. I know that's the storyline, but I don't like it. So McIntyre attacks Roman in the aisleway before the bell. Roman gets in the ring. McIntyre's outside. And Roman Reigns does this monster dive out over the top rope onto Drew McIntyre. Now, we've seen Roman pull this off before many times. Usually there's about 20 guys congregated outside the ring to catch him and break his fall. This time there was one person. And that one person barely caught him because he overshot Drew McIntyre. He almost completely overshot the man and landed right on his shoulder. But it looked impressive. A guy that big doing a huge dive like that out of the ring. I will say that. It looked impressive. Now, Shane McMahon's like a little cockroach out there. Roman's chasing him into the crowd and back down to ringside. This basically was a two-on-one match. Not officially, but this was basically a handicap match. Shane would very liberally stick his nose in the match every now and then. So later on in the match, Roman hits not one but two Superman punches to Shane. Right, Shane's down on the outside. McIntyre goes after Roman outside the ring. Roman gets the better of the exchange. He goes for the drive-by. Drew moves out of the way. Lands on the apron. So now Roman is laid out flat on the apron. McIntyre gives him a slingshot slam onto the announce desk. That's basically the reverse Alabama slam that Drew does. It's a cool-looking move. So he flips Roman down face first and chest first onto the announce desk. Back inside, McIntyre hits a gigantic superplex, only gets a two count. McIntyre's back up now on the top rope, comes off. He eats a Superman punch on the way down. Roman only gets a near fall out of it. So they exchange blows. Roman hits a spear. Shane is late. He was supposed to break up the pin. Clearly he was supposed to break up the pinfall. He was late getting in the ring. McIntyre had a kick out at the last second. And this has happened before. Like, the big one that I remember is Sid at WrestleMania 8. having to kick out, which I don't believe was the plan, kick out of the Hulk Hogan leg drop when Papa Shango, not only was Papa Shango late, Papa Shango was nowhere to be found. Papa Shango was still in the back when the spot was taking place. Like, after the spot was already over, they flashed to the aisleway, and out came Papa Shango. Boy, was that... It's always funny when I hear Godfather talk about that in interviews. He's like, don't blame me. I was standing in the gorilla position waiting for my cue, and I never got it. So, shit happens. But Shane should know better. But so he missed his cue. Shane hits the cut. Now, the referee is on the outside, because Shane finally does drag the ref out. Ref's out on the floor. Roman is down in the corner. Shane goes up to the top rope, hits the coast-to-coast to Roman Reigns. Referee gets in the ring. McIntyre tries to steal the pin. Roman kicks out. McIntyre then sets up for the Claymore kick. Roman Reigns, again, hits the Superman punch. Shane runs in. He gets immediately sent flying out over the top rope. Roman hits a second spear and seals the deal. And Michael Cole, on commentary, says the words, "Big dog strong." That was cringe. Oh, is that cringe? I hope that does not become a new thing. I fear that is going to, not only is that going to become a new thing, it might become a new t-shirt. Big dog strong. If we have to listen to Michael Cole shouting big dog strong on television every single week, I might just snap. I might just lose my mind. So much like WrestleMania, another pinfall win over Drew McIntyre here for Roman Reigns. So much for the Scottish psychopath. Shane McMahon beats Roman Reigns, but Drew McIntyre can't get a win over Roman to save his life. I lost count of how many Superman punches we had here in this match. There were at least four. Maybe five? I don't know. Too many. I thought the match was okay. I actually thought the last two matches brought this show down a few notches from where it had been earlier in the night. Bayley and Alexa was just okay. This match was fine. It wasn't really that good. It wasn't great. Later in the show, Shane McMahon's backstage with Drew. Very upset. And he announces that tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, it is Roman Reigns, because you thought this was over. It is Roman Reigns against Drew McIntyre and Shane McMahon in a 2-on-1 handicap match. Oh, joy. Oh, joy. And here I thought we were done with this because the announcer said so. That's what they said when the match was over. Corey Graves, Michael Cole. Well, I guess that's the end of the big dog has, you know, conquered Drew and Shane, and that's the end of it. Well, the announcers told me so. It must be true. You know, if I trusted these announcers with my life savings, I'd be bankrupt begging for change on the street. I'd have a cup in my hand and sunglasses on the street corner. Kofi Kingston and Dolph Ziggler. Steel cage match for the WWE Championship. I switched over to Japanese commentary for this. I watch a lot of those New Japan matches with the Japanese commentary on. I mean, I like the English commentary. I think Kevin Kelly is great. Kevin Kelly, Don Callis, Rocky Romero. They have a lot of good English announcers there. But for some of the big matches, for the emotion, I keep the Japanese commentary on. Now, I don't understand a word that they're saying. But it just... It's so, their enthusiasm is so infectious. You don't have to know what they're saying. It doesn't matter. They are so into the match that it makes the match that much more special and that much more enjoyable. Now, these Japanese announcers, and I think Funaki, I think Funaki is one of them, but these Japanese announcers, they're not quite as enthusiastic, they're not quite as good as the New Japan announcers, but then again, to be fair, I mean, they're calling a WWE show, right? They're not calling a New Japan show. So that's to be expected. Not for nothing, I enjoyed the Japanese commentary. Especially after hearing Big Dog Strong in that last match. I mean, Michael Cole wasn't even on commentary for this match, but I didn't give a shit. I just couldn't deal with that. So my advice to you is to try it sometime. Toggle the language settings on your WWE Network stream. You got multiple languages that you could choose. You could pick Spanish, Russian, Japanese. You might enjoy it more. Or you could just mute the whole thing. That works too. This cage match here, very little reaction to this match until the finish. I thought the finish was awesome. The finish was the only good thing about this match. That was the only awesome thing I can say about this match. This was just boring. This is a WWE Championship match on a pay-per-view, a steel cage match. This was boring. As cage matches go, just a huge disappointment. Kofi got Ziggler at one point in a not so great looking ankle lock. Ziggler kicked him off. He hit a zigzag for a near fall. Dolph tried to escape through the door. Kofi dragged him back inside, but Dolph poked him in the eyes. Dolph started to slowly crawl towards the door, when all of a sudden Kofi Kingston leapt a giant leap through the ropes, out to the floor, both feet touch, and he wins the match. An innovative finish as far as cage matches go. I thought this was awesome. I don't think I've ever seen that finish before to a cage match. I mean, we've seen cage matches where guys are fighting at the top and they're maybe dangling and one guy lets go and the guy falls. But in terms of somebody going out the door and the other person diving through the ropes over their body and out to the floor, I've never seen that before. It's just too bad I can't say the same for the match itself. Now, if I had to guess going forward, because this has to be it for Dolph. I mean, that's just, you know, they gave him a token match in Saudi Arabia because Kevin Owens didn't want to go over. They gave him the rematch here. I'm sure he got paid well. Good for him. This has to be it. If I had to guess, and that's all this is, I see Randy Orton as the next logical challenger to Kofi's championship, unless they go back to Kevin Owens. And to be honest, even that is played out at this point. I think Randy Orton would be the next logical choice. Kofi needs to wrestle a bigger name, bigger than Dolph fucking Ziggler. Orton beat Triple H at Super Saudi Showdown. Hasn't been seen or heard from since. It would make sense for it to be him. Before we get to the main event here, I want to switch over to a slide. There's the phone number. You see it on your screen. 989-282-SOLO. 989-282-7656 is the phone number to call. And I'm looking at the chat now, and many of you are pointing out Shane McMahon, which I was trying to put that as far out of my mind as possible. My hope with that is that there's one more match yet to... I guess they're having a match tomorrow night. It's a handicap match. But there's probably still one more Roman versus Shane match yet to come. Let them blow that feud off. And please, for the love of God, don't put Shane McMahon in there with Kofi Kingston for the WWE title. Let it be Randy Orton. And Randy Orton isn't exactly the most exciting person in the world to watch all the time either. But for the love of God, I'll go Randy Orton over Shane McMahon any day of the week. As far as in a position like that, challenging for the championship. So, please don't put that evil on us. Hopefully. And if it's not Randy, maybe there's somebody else I'm not thinking of. You know, we still haven't seen Aleister Black debut on TV, although I wouldn't put him right in a WWE title match. But you've got options out there. Finn Balor, where the hell is he? I don't think it's going to be him, but he sort of vanished. I don't know if he's got an injury. I don't know what's going on with Finn Balor. Feel like we haven't seen him in a while. Anyway, again, the phone number's on the screen, and when I wrap up here with the main event, we'll start taking some phone calls. So if you want to call in, that's the number to do so. 989-282-SOLO. Again, that's 989-282-7656. And I see the lines were already filling up here. I should have opened up more lines. Well, what the hell are you going to do? And again, super chats are open, and thank you very much to the people who have donated. Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin for the Universal Championship was your main event. That says it all, doesn't it, right? Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin is your pay-per-view main event for the championship. Baron Corbin, of course, this entire match was built around the idea of a guest referee, a mystery guest referee. Who will it be? It's not about the match. We've already seen Seth beat Baron. He beat him in Saudi Arabia. Hell, Baron Corbin got beat by the New Day in a 2 out of 3 falls match on Monday Night Raw. We're supposed to get excited about this? No, we're supposed to get excited about the mystery referee. Corbin comes out, he announces Lacey Evans as the guest referee. The sassy Southern ref. This got chants of stupid, AEW, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk. Well, look, and I have to defend WWE just a little bit on this. Not too much. but I will defend them in this way. We were supposed to hate Corbin for picking Lacey. That was the whole point, to piss people off, to make them angry, to make them upset. So, in that respect, you could argue it's good heel heat. They could chant whatever they want, but they were upset. That was the emotion they were going for. Again, far be it for me to defend all the other nonsensical booking and bullshit that we get from this company, but in this case, I don't know that that really applies. Underwhelming, absolutely. But I know what they were going for. So Corbin, he takes a chair. He is beating Rollins down with a steel chair here before the bell. Gotta take a drink here. I won't tell you a drink of what. I'll let you guys guess. Is it water? Or is it something a little stronger than water? I save that for tomorrow night. So Corbin's taking a chair to Rollins here before the bell. Fast forward a little bit, which I kind of wish I could have done in real time. Fast forwarding live TV. That's got to be the next innovation here on the WWE Network. Rollins is outside the ring later on, and he powerbombs Baron Corbin through the announce desk. Now Lacey's in the ring, and she starts counting. She's counting 1, 2, 3. She's taking her time. She's trying to give Baron all the time he needs to get back up to his feet. She gets to the count of 8. All of a sudden, she tells the ring announcer, come on over here for a second. She tells the announcer, I want you to make the announcement that this match is now no count out. Corbin catches Rollins on a dive through the ropes. He chokeslams him onto the apron, just like Damian Priest on NXT. The former Punishment Martinez made his big debut this past week at Full Sail. He did that very same move. He caught Raul Mendoza on a dive out through the ropes and gave him a big choke slam on the apron. So then Corbin rolls him inside, delivers another choke slam, only gets a 2 count. Lacey wasn't quick enough. Rollins got a shoulder up. Fast forward a little bit. Rollins is back in control. He goes up top, hits a frog splash. But before Lacey can count the 3, she hurts her shoulder. She can't count. Corey Graves, he suggests that perhaps her arm cramped up. Well, I hate when that happens. She had some kind of a muscle spasm, maybe. Some arm paralysis suddenly attacked her. So Corbin gets a chance to rebound here. He takes a steel chair, starts beating up on Seth Rollins with it. And all of a sudden the match goes from being not just no count out, but now it's no disqualification. You can see that coming from a mile away. Hits him with the chair a few more times inside the ring. Evans then announces the match at that point is no DQ. I got ahead of myself. Now we got loud chants of Becky Lynch. People know she's going to come out. They're waiting and waiting and waiting for Becky Lynch to come out. And Rollins hits a falcon arrow on the steel chair to Baron Corbin. He's got Corbin covered. Lacey won't even count. Now they're face to face. Now it's PG. So you know that Rollins isn't going to do a damn thing. Even though Randy Orton gave Nia Jax an RKO just a few months ago. We'll forget that happened. You can't have man-on-woman violence in WWE. Now, if this were 20 years ago, yeah, Stone Cold would have given her a kick to the gut. He would have stunned her. Can't have that now. So she smacks him once. She smacks him again. Corbin gets back up. Lacey gives Seth a low blow. Corbin gives him the end of days. Finally, after wait, and then what the hell was taking her so long? That's what I was thinking to myself. What the hell's taking her so long? She's sitting back there waiting? You would think that she would have been out at least 5 minutes earlier. Finally, Becky Lynch decides, I'm ready. Maybe she was in the bathroom. She comes out. She goes right, makes a beeline for Lacey Evans. Now it's no DQ. So she can beat her up as much as she wants. Hits a Bexploder into the barricade. Multiple referees come down to restrain Becky. Corbin looks over. He spots one of the referees. It's referee John Cohn. Same referee who counted the fall in the match with Seth in Saudi Arabia, and he tells him, you better do the right thing this time. Corbin goes for the end of day. Seth rolls through the move, hits a kick and a curb stomp, and scores the 1-2-3. And Seth Rollins retains the Universal Championship. Now, the way they were acting when this was over, and I know that they're an item, and they're in a relationship. The more I watch this, I kind of wonder if it's all storyline. But I'm watching this and I'm like, all right, they're boyfriend and girlfriend and they're lovey-dovey and all that, but I'm watching them. I'm watching Becky. And just the way, I don't know, there's something about the way that she's acting. I'm thinking to myself, are we going to get a Becky turn? I mean, we got a lot of time left in this pay-per-view. She's kind of, I don't know, this all feels kind of strange. It is kind of strange that in the last few weeks, they've really started pushing this whole idea hard of Seth and Becky, like they're some kind of power couple. Maybe there's a reason for it. Are they going to do it? Are we going to get our first ever Heyman girl here in WWE? Oh, I mean, I was thinking that we had plenty of time for it, but nope, they just celebrated and walked to the back and they went off the air. And I thought to myself, you know, that's too bad. Now, Becky is still very popular. I know it would be dumb to turn her right now, but man, that would have been so great. Just in that moment, I'm telling you, if they did it the right way, that would have been so great. Give Seth a low blow. Out comes Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Lesnar's music hits. And look, I'm no fan of putting the belt back on Brock, but it would have been the perfect setup. Lesnar comes in. He cashes in. Heyman's got himself his first ever Heyman girl. Well, second ever. His second ever Heyman girl, because Medusa will always be the first. So as far as the match itself, this was a Raw TV main event. That's the best thing I can say about it. The people got the run-in that they wanted from Becky for the feel-good moment at the end, but this was, you know, in many ways, this was the perfect finish to a show like this, a show that had no business even taking place. Forget the crappy name. This show was completely unnecessary. This show, like many of these B-shows that WWE does, was a cash grab. They had to come up with something to get through it, and they did. And I'd like to think that now they can move on, but the reality is it's very likely that we're getting another match between these two, considering that there's a tables match being promoted locally. I don't remember where Extreme Rules is taking place, but whatever market it is, and I know, you know, cards subject to change, but they're promoting a tables match for Extreme Rules next month between Baron Corbin and Seth Rollins. So this may not be over. Now, maybe tomorrow night on TV, we get a mixed tag match. Maybe it's Seth and Becky against Corbin and Lacey. I could see that being the Raw main event tomorrow night. But this show fell off a cliff in the last half hour to 45 minutes or so compared to the first, you know, 2 hours. First half was much better than the second half. But overall, that first half was so strong. I can't give this show anything but a thumbs up. You know, I mean, just on the strength of those early matches, those were really good matches, one after the other. You went from a great match to a good match to a great match to a good, I mean, there was some really good stuff in that first half. This was a better show than I expected on the whole, but not a blowaway show by any means. So I think that's kind of the best way to sum up this Stomping Ground show. Now, this was the Twitter poll as of right before the time that I came on the air live here. So by now, I'm sure there's probably closer to 2,000 votes. But there you see, roughly 1,200 votes came in initially, and 62% of you voted thumbs up to 38% thumbs down. So pretty much in step with what I just talked about here. Overall, I can't not give the show a thumbs up. This was a thumbs up effort. Even though that last half hour, 45 minutes, hour, the show really did take a big decline. It was not as good as the first half, but on the whole, you know, and it's kind of funny too, right? Because those later matches were the rematches. We got a WrestleMania rematch. We got two rematches from Saudi Arabia. And the matches were okay, but they really weren't anything special. But it was those early matches. It was the Cruiserweight Triple Threat on the kickoff. You know, it was Owens and Zayn against New Day. I mean, I guess, I don't even know. I mean, was that a rematch? I feel like that probably happened on TV at some point in the last few weeks. Everything sort of blends together with this WWE product. But Joe and Ricochet, that was a unique match, and I thought that was pretty good. Otis and Tucker against Daniel Bryan and Rowan, that was a fun match. So it's almost like the non-rematches delivered, and the rematches were just sort of there. So anyway, there you go. 62 to 38, that's the early poll results here. Let's take some phone calls. I want to hear from you guys. What do you think of this pay-per-view? You can chime in here. And let's see here. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to, actually, we'll take our first call, an international caller. We'll go to Paul in Toronto.
Hey, Solid Monster, big fan, first time caller. Just want to say, yeah, the show was okay. I found that, you know, the final half hour, like you said, was pretty, pretty boring, but the matches apart from that were great.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think you know, it was funny because I'm watching this show and I'm thinking to myself, there's been a lot of people who have been shitting on the WWE, and myself included. And it's not a case of me shitting on the wrestlers, but just overall the storylines and, you know, the formulas of the shows. It's just nothing ever seems to change. It's very uninspired. That's why I think a lot of people are so excited about AEW, and you got the G1 coming up in New Japan. So you've got a lot of things to get excited about. And exciting is not the word I would use for WWE. No one is doubting the talent they have on their roster. You know, when I called out Seth Rollins' tweet, and he doubled down, by the way, on that tweet. He posted another one before the pay-per-view. And he said, I'm going to stand by what I said. WWE is the best pro wrestling on the planet. Of course, I question which planet he's referring to. He never said Earth, so maybe he's talking about a different planet. And then again, you know, I got the WWE universe. So, if it's the best pro wrestling on the planet, what about the universe? But nobody is questioning the talent they have on their roster. People are questioning how they use that talent, which is not very well. But they looked extra motivated out there tonight. Like, maybe they're tired of people shitting on them, you know, and they wanted to go out there and kind of shut people up. And I think to a point they did, even though, again, towards the end, it sort of fell off a little bit. But it did seem to me like some of these guys looked a little extra motivated. Let's go to Josh in Texas.
Hey, Solid Monster. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I just watched the Stomping Grounds pay-per-view, and I thought it was really cool. And I give it a thumbs up. My favorite match was Ricochet and Samoa Joe. And I was happy because all my predictions came out right.
Wow, all of them.
Yeah.
Wow, I should have you play my lotto numbers. All right, so on the whole, I mean, what'd you think? If you had to give it a on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give this pay per view?
I'd give it like an 8.
Wow. Okay.
Instead of the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn match with New Day, I would put Finn Balor in a title defense with somebody, but I think I know what I'm guessing. Andrade's getting time off because of his death in the family, so my thinking of why he hasn't been on TV in a while.
Yeah,
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, no, it's thank you for the call. It's possible that he's still possibly getting time. I mean, my impression is that he's back now, but he may still be getting time off. And you know what? Maybe that's why we haven't seen Finn Balor. I said a little while ago, where the hell is Finn Balor? Maybe the plan is to do something with him and Andrade. And Andrade got time off. His mom passed away recently. And so they just decided to keep Balor kind of on ice until Andrade was ready to come back. That's a good point. So that could actually explain exactly why we haven't seen him lately on TV. Let's go to Ali in Staten Island. You know, we had Ali was in a vignette on the pay-per-view tonight. I don't know where that's going. He kind of looked like maybe he's some kind of crusading superhero roaming the streets. Maybe he's going to be Batman or something. I don't know. But this is a different Ali in Staten Island. You're on the air.
Hey, Solid Monster. Thank you for taking my call and hope you're having a good night.
I am having a great night.
I'm glad to hear. Overall, I thought this was an average show, nothing more, nothing less. And I totally agree with you on the fact that the last 30 to 60 minutes of the show just killed any momentum the show really had. And what I really noticed that this show gave me is that WWE has this problem that they don't know how to end any feud. Like, they just take one feud, and if it starts after WrestleMania, it has to go on until the next big pay-per-view, like SummerSlam or Survivor Series. And I just want to get your take on how WWE should manage these feuds and just figure out how to end them properly.
Well, I mean, I think you just want to have a couple of big matches. You have a decisive winner. And then you move on to, like, if you're a champion, you know, you move on to the next challenger. There's no reason for everybody has to get, let's say, three matches on three different pay-per-views. I think it would help if you've had if you had some kind of a ranking system. I've talked about this so many times before. And AEW has talked about we're going to make sure wins and losses mean something. I don't know if that means they're going to have some kind of a ranking system where fans can follow along and you have like a top 10 and, you know, you can leapfrog, like number three faces number five. And if number five wins, he leapfrogs into the number three spot. I think, you know, titles should mean more than they do in this company. And I think something like that could help storyline-wise. Look, you just have to come up with compelling stories to tell. You could have a great story that goes on for 6 months. You know, I didn't mind Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels feuding for 6 months or however long it was in 2008 because it was a great feud. And they both had a hand in writing it and putting it together, which is why it was so great. How many really, truly interesting stories do you have right now ongoing in WWE? Not very many. And it's not a reflection on the talent. The talent came through tonight, by and large. They showed what they can do. They just need a little support every now and then from the people. You know, the puppet masters pull the strings. It's not the puppet's fault. It's the puppet master. They got to do a better job of pulling those strings. Let's go to Garrett in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital.
Hey, Solid Monster. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I did not watch the show. I was on my Netflix account watching this documentary about Fyter Fest, so I can get the context about Fyter Fest this week. And yeah, I could see what the some of the references from the being the elite show from Fyter Fest is all about. So I find that pretty humorous, I guess. I just wanted to talk about, you know, people were giving Ring of Honor or like WWE a hard time over the how much they were just giving away tickets, but I just want to point out that Ring of Honor is having a very terrible time of selling tickets as of late. As they have a show like this weekend, and they have sold like a couple hundred tickets that are only like for a 1,000-seat venue. And even like next month for their Hammerstein Ballroom show, they have the entire building is completely still available to buy tickets for. And that's a showing sign the fact that Ring of Honor is really struggling after, you know, the exodus of the Elite, as well as, you know, the fact that after MSG, you know, their attendance has not been doing well after the fact. Is there anything like Ring of Honor should be doing any differently that can help improve their ticket sales, or, you know, probably actually find that, like a match or a few that actually would improve that problem they were facing?
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's an easy answer. And it's funny you mentioned the Manhattan Center, because I think that's the Manhattan Mayhem show that you're referring to. It's coming up on July, I want to say 20th. I have tickets to that show. It's the first Ring of Honor show I've been to in a long... Well, I mean, I was at Madison Square Garden, but before that, it's been a long time since I've been at Hammerstein. So I'm looking forward to it. I didn't know that tickets were selling so poorly. All the times in the past that I've been in that building, they've done a pretty good job of packing it in. You know, the thing about Ring of Honor is they just have no buzz right now. You know, All Elite has really, in some ways, screwed over promotions like Ring of Honor and even MLW to a degree. Because they've stolen a lot of their thunder. That's all anybody's been talking about. All the oxygen has been sucked up by AEW. It's either AEW, WWE, or New Japan now that the G1 is coming up. And everybody else, it just feels like, is sort of, you know, down a couple of levels and people aren't really paying attention. Impact, I mean, nobody is paying attention, even though they've got a pretty good product, by all accounts. They're on a network that nobody watches. They're on a network that can't even be bothered to air the correct episode of the show, which is completely ridiculous. So the quicker they get off that network, the better off they'll be. I kind of think they'd be even better just going on YouTube. I know they're on Twitch. They might be better off just going on YouTube rather than Pursuit Network or Pursuit Channel, whatever the hell it's called. So yeah, Ring of Honor is in a bit of a lull right now. They've got Matt Taven as their world champion, you know, talented guy, but let's be honest, I mean, it's Matt Taven. So Matt Taven is their world champion, not exactly lighting the world on fire. And I don't know that there's one easy solution to that question. I think they just have to keep scouting for the best talent that's available. You know, you're going to have a lot of people competing for the same talent, and they're going to have to pay maybe some big money to try to sign some more names. They did that with Bandido. Although I think his deal may be coming up in the next few months, and so they may be in another bidding war for him. They're in a tough spot. they're in a tough spot right now because there just isn't a lot of buzz around the product. And I think it's going to continue until AEW ends up on TNT. That's all, you know, aside from WWE and NXT, that's all anybody's going to be talking about. You're going to be talking about All Elite. And are they going to flop? Are they going to succeed? What's going to happen when they go to TNT? They got Jon Moxley and they're, everybody, you know, is talking about people who want to leave WWE and go sign with AEW. Nobody's talking about people wanting to leave WWE and go sign with Ring of Honor. You know, Mike Kanellis didn't leave WWE to go back to Ring of Honor to go feud with Matt Taven, his former stablemate, for the ROH title. He re-signed for 5 years with WWE. It's just the way it is. So I don't think there's really any easy solution. We got a call from Down Under. I don't know what time it. What time is it in Australia right now?
It is midday.
Oh.
Midday. It's 1:42 p.m. in the afternoon.
Okay, well, that's not too bad.
It's pretty good, actually. Pretty good time. Don't have to stop late.
Yeah, we have Harry on the line, by the way. Thank you for calling in.
Hello, yes. So, I wanted to say, Stomping Grounds is average. I thought the main event was way overbooked.
Well, overbooked. And you mean overbooked? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it was completely overbooked. When Lacey Evans came out, I thought it was actually probably a good idea to get her out. So, you know, to remove his chair shotting thing. I did want him to hit her with the chair, low key. Not gonna lie, but.
Well, you're an old school Attitude fan, I assume.
Yeah. I thought they could have done a bit better. I thought the match itself was just boring. Like, it just, Baron Corbin's just slow. He's definitely improved, but as a main eventer, like, I haven't seen Seth Rollins. Like, Seth Rollins versus AJ was a great match, and then we get this.
Yeah, you know, and I've been saying for a while, I said, look, Baron Corbin is a capable heel. He's not completely awful or dreadful, but like in main events and in the position that he's been put in, it's just death. And the quicker they get him out of those matches, the better off they'll be. You know, if they want him to settle in the middle of the card and just be this asshole heel, and you know, he could probably pull that off. But Baron Corbin in pay-per-view main events is just absolute total death.
Yep, doesn't work. Does not work at all. Don't know what they see. Don't know what Vince sees when he watches these shows and says, oh, such good shit. I love it. Just, he's really living in his own world.
Yeah, I would agree. Any other thoughts on the pay-per-view before we move on?
Yeah, I suppose Shane McMahon, he can go away. But, you know, everyone already knows that, so not really.
Well, thank you for calling in. I don't too often get too many calls from Australia the last few shows I've done, so that's very nice of you to call in. That was Harry Down Under. Take a few more here. By the way, you know, we haven't talked about this yet. No Bray Wyatt, and looking at what they did here in the main event, I'm grateful for that, because had they blown the Bray Wyatt return, the Bray Wyatt debut, call it whatever you want, on this pay-per-view, in that main event, it would have been a gigantic waste. But if they somehow find a way, and I don't know what the plan is for Seth Rollins at SummerSlam, but I see Bray Wyatt, when he is ready to come back, as somebody who should be at that level. And if they wanted to somehow build to a Bray Wyatt-Seth Rollins championship match at SummerSlam, I would not be against that. I would not be against that at all. They have a real opportunity with Bray Wyatt to undo all of the wrongs that they've done by this guy in the past. And boy, did they mishandle him. He's been gone long enough. The Firefly Funhouse stuff has been airing now for weeks and weeks and weeks. He's created this new persona for himself. And I sure hope that the idea is not that he's just going to go back to his old self at some point. They really have something potentially pretty special. But I don't think he should be mired in U.S. title feuds or IC title feuds or just kind of meddling in the mid-card. You know, this is a potential main event act. And I think Wyatt in this new fiend persona against Rollins and the main event of SummerSlam in Toronto, that's a potentially pretty big match. So however they're going to re-debut him, I hope they take great care and they take some input from him. He's had a lot of input into his, he has rather, into his own storyline. And it would be nice if maybe they even took some feedback from him in terms of how they debut him. So I've got high hopes for that. Maybe I'm an idiot for having any sort of optimism about what they might do with this guy. But I'm more curious than most to see how they're going to handle this. Let's go to Sean in Illinois.
Hey, Saw Monster, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Sean. How are you?
Pretty good. Just got done watching the Stomping Grounds, kind of like everyone's consensus. Pretty average show. First half, great. Second half, just an average Raw or SmackDown TV show. I'm an Attitude fan myself, and yeah, that main event was more of a gimmick or a promo more than a match. So, but yeah, at first I hated when Lacey Evans came out, but then I understood it. You know, it was to get heat. Yeah, you can't hit a girl now. 20 years ago, yeah, you're right. Different. My question is, and I just heard your thoughts on Bray Wyatt, and I totally agree. I love the Firefly Funhouse, well, at least compared to what I watch on Raw anyway. And I really hope they don't mess it up. I, you know, it's the best thing that they do. My question is, if I'm assuming there's going to be another rematch with Baron Corbin. I hope not, but there will be an Extreme Rules because I got time to fill. Do you think it would be a tables match, or do you think they may go in direction where it'd be like a mixed tag team match since Becky and Seth are both the champions versus Baron and Lacey, and whoever wins, you know, gets both belts? And also, who do you see if Kofi is still the champ by SummerSlam? Do you think it would be time they would put him against Roman Reigns?
Well, I mean, as far as the first question, it wouldn't shock me if they blew off the mixed tag on Raw tomorrow night. But you mentioned the stipulation that maybe they do it where, you know, the winning team gets both belts. So if Seth and Becky win, they keep their belts. If Corbin gets a pin or Lacey gets a pin, both titles change. I always hate stipulations like they did that at the King of the Ring. You know, like in they've done it multiple times, but I remember the King of the Ring in 2000. It was like a 6-man tag, and they had the WWF title on the line, and it's like, you know, it just marginalizes your titles when you do that sort of bullshit, so I'm not really a fan of that. Although, yeah, I could see them doing it. And that would be one way to kill time. You know, you can have Becky in the main event with Seth against Baron and Lacey. Yeah, I mean, look, if you got to kill time, I guess you got to kill time. I can't say I'm overly enthusiastic about it. We've already seen the babyfaces win. That's the other problem here. I don't have any expectation that in the end, Lacey is going to win the title or Baron Corbin is going to win the title. So we've already seen them lose. Lacey Evans has lost twice to Becky Lynch. Baron Corbin has lost twice to Seth Rollins. Do we really need to see them lose three times? Is that what people are going to get excited to see? I say just blow it off tomorrow night and come up with something else. I don't think I could stand another month of just promoting the same freaking match over again. Just this time you're merging them, you're fusing them together. That's really all they're doing. It's just so stupid, which means they'll probably do it. A couple more here and then we'll wrap up. Jonathan in the Bronx.
Hey, what's going on, Saw Monster? How are you?
Good, Jonathan. How are you? What'd you think of the pay-per-view?
Man, I don't even know. Like, I've been just, like, disconnected from the product. I actually did watch the pay-per-view, and I actually thought it was a pretty solid show in the first half, and then the second half, especially the main event, which is just a huge mess. But going back on the Bray Wyatt stuff, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I really love the Bray Wyatt stuff, but I'm like, I feel like WWE is just going to mess up his return, whenever that will be. And it got me thinking about, you know, when Dean Ambrose came back and he talked in the interview with Jericho, I'm like, we could see this again. Like, we could see, you know, Wyatt come back, but, like, not in a way that we want him. I guess we as fans, we want him to come back. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, that really is my biggest fear. Is that they just won't know what to do with him. These vignettes are great. I mean, they're some of them don't make any sense. You know, I mean, they probably make sense to him. We just don't have the full meaning of it. It's very different, though. Once he's in the building, once he's on TV, once he's in the ring, like, you know, what's his gear going to look like? Is he going to wrestle in the mask? I wouldn't think so. He may make his entrance in the mask. We don't know. Once he's in the ring, he's just like everybody else. And if that's how they book him, then it's not going to work. You know, like Kane. Kane wore a mask. He was booked like a monster when he first debuted. He wrestled in that stupid red light, which I wasn't a fan of, but it was unique at least. They tried to make him feel special. That's what they have to try to do. Even though this guy's been around for a whole bunch of years, they haven't really done much with him. This is a fresh start. You've got something here. People are into this. Don't fuck it up. They do that way too much. Please, for the love of God, don't fuck it up. Let's go to a call right here in Brooklyn, New York.
Yo, what's up, Sean Monster? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Is this I have your name written here as Quintus. Is it Quintus or is it Quentin?
Yes, Quintus.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you probably predict the SummerSlam ending with Becky turning heel. I kind of agree with that. That'd be perfect. It would just be so perfect.
Yeah, I mean, would they wait that long? I mean, it just kind of felt like tonight was the right moment to do it. I don't know if
They have to just let it settle down for a little bit to wait till the bigger pay per view, like watch that off. Tonight's pay per view, I really enjoyed it, except the cage match. I really was falling asleep off and on. This Kofi Magic Ride, carpet ride is done. I mean, it's time to move on.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's time to move on. It's going to happen. SummerSlam, him versus Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is going to win the title. That's what Vince wants. I see Reigns is getting a lot of cheers now, chants of Roman. The fans are starting to get on the side now, so I think it's time to pull that trigger and put the title back on Reigns. What do you think?
Well, you know, if they do that, I think they're going to undo all of the progress they've made. You know, if you have people cheering for Roman, the easiest way, I think, to get people to turn on him is to have him be the one to beat Kofi Kingston, because people like Kofi. You know, I think even the people who don't necessarily buy him in the role as champion, they like him. Not everybody does, but he's a likable guy. And if his fairy tale run comes to an end, instead of against some big heel, or even Big E turns, which I'm not advocating that, but that would be a huge kind of swerve, a huge angle, and probably would get a lot of heat if he turned on his brother. If Roman Reigns is the guy to end Kofi Kingston's title reign, and Vince McMahon thinks that's going to somehow get him cheered even more, then he's absolutely lost his mind and he belongs in an old age home. Because he could not be more wrong. So by all means, if that's what you want, if you want to get Roman Reigns booed as the biggest heel on SmackDown, then go right ahead and have him be the one to beat Kofi. But I think that would be a huge mistake to do that at SummerSlam. Let's go to Westchester, New York. We got Steven on the line.
Hey, how are you doing, Solmaster?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right, good. I'm going to go through a couple of things with you. And just interrupt me if any of this I'm saying is incorrect or wrong in any way. So here goes. Okay, so with Seth Rollins, about maybe a year and a half ago, we got a dick pic from him. And suddenly he becomes the world champ. Fine, I'm okay with that. No problem. Next thing, Charlotte Flair, we get boob pics from her boob job. Next moment, she is the world champ of the women's division. Fine, okay with that. No problem. Next thing we get is Paige with butt plugs with the guy, her boyfriend. Next thing you know it, she's the general manager of Raw. Fine, no problem. But this is, I can't even relate to anything with this guy, Ricochet, you know, with the fingering his own butt. And now he's the champ. Now, let me ask you a question. You go to work Monday morning, your boss sees a video of you fingering your butt. Are you getting that promotion? Are you getting that raise? I'll leave it at that. Have a good night.
Well, I can tell you right now, my boss ain't going to see no videos like that. So that's not something I need to worry about. You see, the thing is, and I didn't even mention this in the podcast earlier, I didn't say a single word about the Ricochet stuff because I just think it's so stupid. And I didn't say anything when the Charlotte Flair stuff leaked. I think it's really shitty, whoever has this stuff, because if you notice, it tends to be, and I think this has happened before, where when somebody is about to go into like a big pay-per-view match, or they have like some kind of big opportunity coming up, all of a sudden these things tend to leak out. So there's actually someone or there's people out there who have this stuff. They have like some kind of treasure trove of videos, photos, whatever it is. And they leak it at the right time to fuck with these people. And I just don't understand the logic behind it. I don't understand what would motivate somebody to do that and to invade someone's privacy like that. I mean, look, why you would even record a video like that? Hey, to each their own. I think when you're a celebrity and when you're in the public eye and you have a big following on social media, you got to be more careful about stuff like that. But that doesn't give people a right to leak your shit and invade your privacy. So I got a couple of email questions from people saying, do you think this is going to derail his push? Is WWE going to punish him? Punish him for what? What did he do that was wrong? What did he do to hurt people? His own privacy was violated. So this whole leak video situation never once even factored into the thought of, is he going to win or not win? How's it going to affect his push? It will not affect him in any way as far as his push is concerned. So him winning the championship right after this happened didn't surprise me. I wouldn't have done it tonight. I would have waited until SummerSlam. But, you know, whenever this happens, I have more sympathy for the victims in this. It's not their fault. And it should have absolutely no bearing whatsoever on whether or not they're pushed or not. I think one doesn't have anything to do with the other. So I really don't see the connection between it. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Let's go to David in Virginia.
Hey, Solomonster, how you doing?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, Solomonster, before I start, you may notice that I have problems, so please bear with me. Okay, so, it's...
Oh, you lost him there. Let's go to James in, I think this is it Lafayette, Georgia, or is it, am I pronouncing that wrong? Close enough.
Yeah, close enough. How you doing, man?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I thought the pay-per-view was just an average show. It's typical Vince McMahon booking. I was just telling you what you said about how. I got a question to ask you. Do you think Vince McMahon is living off his past accessible stuff and not really want change of now?
So is Vince McMahon living off? Okay, so is Vince McMahon living off of his reputation? I think he's been living off his reputation for a long time. I hear all these people talking about what a genius he is. I hear all these wrestlers talking about what a genius he is. Really? I'd love to see it. I mean, he makes money. I guess he's a genius at that. This creative genius. Yeah, that leaves a lot to be desired. I watch these television shows every week. I'm still waiting to find out where this genius is. If you happen to find where this genius is, please tell me, because I would love to know. He's been coasting on his reputation for a very long time. And we'll take one last call here. This call comes area code 714. You're on the air.
Hey, Solid Monster. I just like to personally say I am a big fan. I've been listening to your show for many years now. My name is Mikey. I've been a professional wrestler in Southern California for nearly 10 years. I have an Instagram page, Mikey_O'Shea87. Sorry, I had to plug that right there. But I also was the 2,268,486 security guard that appeared on Raw this past Monday at the Staples Center. Now, getting to the point at hand, that main event was bullshit. Baron Corbin is the greatest wrestler of all time. He should have been the Universal Champion. I mean, let's take a look at this guy. He's a former United States Champion. He's a former Money in the Bank winner. He's a Baron Corbin. But anyways, in the next main event...
Yeah, but wait a minute.
Hold
on a second, though. He won the Money in the Bank briefcase, but then he lost it in like 10 seconds on television.
But it's still on the Wikipedia page that he was a former Money in the Bank winner.
Well, that's true.
And anyways, I think the next main event pay-per-view, he will go one-on-one against Seth Rollins again. But just like Finn Balor with the demon gimmick, he's going to take it up a notch and go from being culprit Baron Corbin to bringing back his actual ring gear and call himself Biker Baron Corbin again. He's going to show his true form to Seth Rollins, and you're going to look at the new Universal Champion.
Well, let me ask you this before, well, because you, and by the way, it sounds like you've had 5 cups of coffee, so I can appreciate that. But let me ask you this. So when you talk about Baron Corbin going back to his original form, does that include the sad belly button from his NXT days?
Yes.
I see. Because he kind of looked a little bit like Krang. You know who Krang is?
Oh, yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Of course. Right, exactly. So, you know, I don't know that that's such a good look, though. I don't know that that really works for him. He might be better off keeping the shirt on.
That catering is pretty delicious backstage, so you can't help him from not having a six-pack. But, yes, Baron Corbin, next Universal Champion, going into SummerSlam.
Well, there you have it. That comes straight from Mikey, who clearly was paid off by Baron Corbin when he was backstage at Raw last Monday night in L.A. I hope the payday was worth it, but thank you for the very animated call. Big Baron Corbin fan. We don't get too many of those here on this show. So it's kind of refreshing when we get a big Baron Corbin fan here on this show. You will not hear one of them again. So anyway, that seems like a good caller to wrap up with here. I actually liked Mikey. It was very entertaining. So thank you for tuning in here. This has been your Stomping Grounds 2019 review here on the Solid Monster Sounds Off channel. You can certainly leave comments down below. Hit thumbs up on the video. That'd be kind of cool if you guys would do that. And we had an issue last time where after we terminated the stream, the show was processing. And normally it doesn't take more than a few minutes. And I can tell you, I actually checked before I came on the air here, and the original feed from the Saudi show a few weeks ago is technically still processing. It never stopped. It just hung there, and I have no idea why. I had to re-upload the whole video. So my hope is that that will not happen this time. It will go up as normal, I hope. My fingers are crossed. Otherwise, it's going to be a late night for me, and I'll have to re-upload it separately. So hopefully the show will process quickly and it will be up and archived here on the channel for you to go back if you missed part of it and listen to it. So you know, I am also going to push the audio out to the feed. I don't normally do this. I will push this out to the feed as I do all the full podcasts so you can download and stream the audio that way. That'll be up in the next few hours so you can get it on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, or the Apple Podcast, whatever it is. So watch for the audio there. Thank you, as always, for the support. Everybody who donated via Super Chat, I love each and every one of you. You guys are awesome. We will be back. I guess the next pay-per-view is Extreme Rules coming up in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks. We had a 2-week turnaround here on this pay-per-view. Hopefully, we have at least 3 weeks before the next one. I haven't checked the schedule. I think it's 3 weeks. And so we'll be back with a review of that show. And next Sunday, don't forget, the full podcasts, you can get them on the feed, thesolidmonster.com, episode 606. Coming up, episode 606 coming up next Sunday. So until then, be well, stay safe, and thank you again so much for tuning in live tonight. I'm out of here. Have yourselves a great week, and I'll see you back here real soon. Take care, guys.
The Solid Monster Sounds Off.
Harlem Heat 2000, Techno Team 2000, LOD 2000, WrestleMania 2000. Anything as a rule of thumb with 2000 in the name, you know it sucked.
The Solid Monster Sounds Off, available wherever you hear podcasts, including iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and more.
Want more content?
Visit youtube.com/thesolidmonster for Sound Off extras and more. And follow The Solid Monster on Twitter @Solid Monster.
Solid Monster.
Solid Monster.
Put that cigarette out.
Solid Monster Sounds Off.